Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us again for this week's teaching. You know, this week's Torah portion, we are finishing the book of Leviticus, so we hope that you are reading along with us at home through the Torah portions, studying it for yourselves. You know, we just like to pull out one concept out of it and teach on that concept. And one of the reasons why we like to do that is His Word tells us that great shalom, or you can say great peace, have those who love His Torah, and it tells us that nothing will cause them to stumble. So when we love the instructions and the commands in which He has given us, we embrace them and we walk in them and we are obedient to them, we are like a person who has built their house upon the rock, as Yeshua spoke. And when the storms of life come, we stand firm and we stand strong. So with that said, let's go ahead and jump into our portion here. And this week, we actually kind of read about the instructions regarding the redemption of the land, about the redeeming kinsmen. We read about the year of Jubilee. So that's what we're going to talk about this week, is the idea, the concept of redemption when it comes to the idea of the redeeming kinsmen and what that speaks to us, what Yahweh was teaching us, and the year of the Jubilee, and what we can look forward to and what it teaches us, as well as those who believe in Yeshua. Because ultimately, all this stuff was speaking of the redemption that Yeshua has already brought unto us. We have been redeemed from sin. So let's look at Leviticus chapter 25, starting with verse 23. The land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. For you are strangers and sojourners with me, and in all the country you possess, you shall allow a redemption of the land. If your brother becomes poor and sells part of his property, then his nearest redeemer shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. If a man has no one to redeem it, and then himself becomes prosperous and finds sufficient means to redeem it, let him calculate the year since he sold it and pay back the balance to the man to whom he sold it, and then return to his property. But if he does not have sufficient means to recover it, then what he sold shall remain in the hand of the buyer until the year of Jubilee. And the Jubilee, it shall be released, and he shall return to his property. I want to start here and look at something we see in verse 23. He says, the land shall not be sold in perpetuity, for the land is mine. He speaks of the idea of the land that was promised unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the land which he brought Israel out of Egypt to inherit the promised land, that which he had promised unto Israel. He says, this land is mine. It belongs unto me. So because of that, this land was set apart. It was holy. And he did not want to see this land being given into the hands of people that were not his people. They were to treat this land as that which was set apart. He says, for you are strangers, or you are sojourners with me. You are to live on this land as if it belongs unto me and not unto you. And because it is set apart, because it is mine, you need to follow my instructions. You need to walk in that which is set apart, or that which is righteous. And one of the things that he lays out on how they are to treat this land as righteous or set apart is he sets up this system of redemption to where if a person becomes poor, they could do something in order to help their means. So if a person became poor, they could sell part of his property, or if they sold all of their property, they could sell a piece of their land to someone, to their nearest relative. And the idea of selling it to this nearest relative, which is going to be the redeemer, is that they're going to get some money. Their relative is going to be allowed to use this land during the process of which they own this land. Now, if the person who was poor and has sold their land comes across some money, and they're in a position now where they are prosperous and they are able to purchase their land back, then they can buy back their land from their redeeming kinsmen. Now, the idea kind of behind this, though, is normally if a person fell into poverty, the odds of this person actually being able to redeem the land back for themselves was quite slim and probably did not happen very often. What you probably saw happen most of the time was what we read of in verse 28, and that is in the year of Jubilee, that land would be freely given back unto the person who became poor and sold part of their land unto their redeeming kinsmen. Now, the Jubilee occurred every 50 years. Remember, they were to count every 7 years. On the seventh year, they had a year, a Sabbath year, where the land rested. They were to count seven of these 7 years. And then on that 50th year, it was a Jubilee, or a year of a release. So those who were in bondage, those who had sold their property, were released from the bondage that they were under. Remember also in the Sabbath year, we see how those who had sold themselves because they had became poor to become a bondservant unto someone, they were released as well in that seventh year if they chose to be released, or they could choose to serve and stay with their master if they so loved their master that much. Okay, so the whole concept of this idea is Yahweh is teaching the children of Israel about redemption. He's teaching them the idea that you are, number one, this is how you love your brother. This is how you love your sister, your neighbor, is you look after those who are in need. So this was a system that was set up to which they could help those in need. Also, we see that in loving your brother and in loving your sister, that you would return unto them what was theirs, even though they were not in a means or able to purchase that land back. So when we think about the idea of what Yeshua did for us, see, we were all born into sin. We were all born with this flesh that has this evil desires, that desires to do contrary to the word of God, that desires to be disobedient to his word, that rejects his word, that rejects his righteousness, rejects walking in his set apartness, and desires to do its own thing. We have that sinful nature living inside of us. And if we are not careful, that sinful nature can rule over us. And we're all born into this nature. We have all sinned. We have all transgressed his law. We have all fallen short. Meaning every mankind, every person needed redemption. They needed someone to come and pay the price because they could not pay the price for themselves. We could not redeem ourselves from sin. See, we read here in this portion, we see the concept that you had the person that if they became prosperous could buy back the land. But if not, they were dependent upon the release of the Jubilee year. When it comes to sin, we are not in a position where we can pay for ourselves. We are dependent upon the release that comes in the year of Jubilee. We needed Yeshua to come and to die upon that cross for us. He was the one who was without sin. He was the spotless one. He was the Lamb of God. He was our Passover Lamb who came into this world to take away our sins. And by his blood, he has redeemed us. So because of what he did upon that cross, there is now a release for those who would believe in him. So if we believe that he died upon that cross for us, that he was resurrected on the third day, and we invite him into our hearts, and then we begin to take his word and apply it into our hearts, we begin to walk in obedience to his word, and then we can begin to see this release in our lives. Our faith in Yeshua should produce obedience in our lives. But we cannot be free to walk in obedience unless we first have been redeemed by the blood of Yeshua. So it's the very reason why Yeshua came, was to set us free from sin, to release us from not only the penalty of sin, because see, anyone who has sinned inherits death, or you could say they are thrown into the lake of fire. The only answer to not being thrown into the lake of fire and in order to obtain everlasting life is to confess the Lord Yeshua as your Redeemer, as your Messiah, as your Lord. And when we put our faith and our belief in Him, we can experience the release, not only the release from the punishment of sin, which was death or eternity in hell with Satan, but we also experience the release or the power, the grip that sin has over our life here and now, so that we can walk in His righteousness and we can walk in His set apartness and we can be obedient unto His word and we can put aside the lust of our flesh and that in our flesh with desires to be disobedient unto His word. Now let's look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as was His custom, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He has anointed Me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent Me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on Him. And He began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So here we see in this passage, first thing I want to talk about is we see that Yeshua had a custom of actually going to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. What was He doing when He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day? It was to read the Torah. They were assembling and gathering inside the synagogue, and they were discussing and reading. They were reading the Torah portion. They were midrashing, or you could say discussing, the teaching or the portion of the Torah for that week. And Yeshua had a custom of actually going into the synagogue on this day to do it. And on this day, He stood up to actually read of a portion of the scripture, and He unrolls the portion. And we see in verse 18, this was the very purpose to why Yeshua came. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me." So first of all, we see that the Holy Spirit of Yahweh Himself was upon Yeshua. He was anointed. That's why He was able to do what He did. He was anointed. And the same Spirit that was upon Yeshua has been given unto us. And the same authority that He had, He has given unto us. And the reason why He has given us that same Spirit and that same authority is so that we can accomplish the very same task that He has accomplished. So not only do we look at Him and say, "He has set us free, He has redeemed me, He has released me from that which held me bondage. Now that I have been released, I need to go out because the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, His Holy Spirit is upon me, He has anointed me so that I can go and I can proclaim the good news unto those that are poor so they can hear the good news and they can be released from that which holds them captive." He came to set the captives free. He came to set us free, to heal those who were sick. So we have been anointed for the same purpose, to do the same thing. Verse 19, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, or you could say to proclaim the concept of the Jubilee. We are to proclaim the concept of the Jubilee. We are to proclaim that He has come to set us free, that we are no longer under bondage. We are no longer under the power of sin, that we had the freedom to walk in that which is righteousness, or we had the freedom to walk in obedience to His word. We're not free to do whatever we want. That is not why He has forgiven us of our sins. He has forgiven us and set us free from the lust of our flesh, from our flesh that desires to walk in disobedience, that we are free from. So now we can walk in obedience to his word, to that which produces set apartness. So when people see us, they see us doing our good works, then they will praise our Heavenly Father who is in heaven. So that's what we need to be about. We need to understand the idea that we are free. We need to walk in that freedom. We need to walk in the release that he has given us. And in walking in this freedom, in this release, by which we are now doing our good works, and they see our good works, and now we walk in the anointing which he has given us. We're proclaiming his good news to the world around us so that they can believe, so they can be set free. We need to be busy about the work that he has given us unto do. Remember, Yeshua said, I have to be about my Father's business. And he told us what to do. We are to be about his Father's business as well. And what did Yeshua tell the disciples? And it's the same command that we have. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That is what we are here to do, to proclaim his jubilee to all the nations of the world. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1. When Yeshua had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Yeshua answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." So here we see in this passage, it appears as if John the Baptist himself is maybe beginning to doubt whether or not Yeshua himself really was the Messiah. Or was there another one to come? Was John expecting something different to happen? Or was he thrown off by what was occurring in Yeshua's ministry and to cause him to doubt whether or not he was the Messiah? Was it the fact that Yeshua allowed John to be held in prison and did not release John from prison? You know, we know the Jews had a firm belief, and they were hoping and expecting, we even see it with the disciples themselves, that the Messiah, when he came, would set them free from the rule of Rome. They thought they were going to see the fighting Messiah, the one who was going to conquer back the land, Israel, Jerusalem, for them. That's what they were expecting. Now, we know that that's actually what's going to happen in his second coming, when he comes the second time. The first time he came was to bring redemption in the concept of spiritual redemption, to set people free from the bondage that held them in their spirit, in their bodies, not necessarily the bondage that they were experiencing underneath the rule of Rome. So when John questions whether or not he is the Messiah, look at what Yeshua answers him. He gives the very reason upon why he was there. He validates, "I am the Messiah," because these are the things that are occurring. This is what is happening. He says, "The blind receive their sight." So he's bringing healing. "The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up." So what is he pointing to when he says, "Are you the Messiah? Am I the Messiah?" He's pointing to the fact that he is setting those who are captive within their physical bodies, and also we're going to see in their spiritual bodies, and the fact that he says the poor have the good news preached unto them. So he came to set them free from the captives in their spiritual condition, for them to repent of their sin, for those who needed to repent, to believe in him. And he healed those who were held captive within their physical body. He doesn't point to the fact that he has done some great thing for the nation of Israel regarding Rome. That was not his purpose. The purpose was to come and set individuals free from that which held that individual in bondage and kept them from walking in the blessing and in the purpose for which God had intended for them. Remember, God created us, and he wants each and every person to have communion with him, to have a personal relationship with him. He desires for every person to draw near unto him. But in order for us to draw near unto him, that which made us unclean had to be dealt with. And so Yeshua did that. He made us worthy. He made us clean so that we could draw near unto Yahweh and we could have a relationship with him. That was his purpose for coming to the world. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So here, Yeshua has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. So when we were born into sin, when we walked in our sinful nature, before we had put our belief in Yeshua, we were a part of the domain, or we were a part of the kingdom of darkness. We belonged unto Satan. Satan had rule over us. His darkness, his kingdom ruled over us and had a legal right unto us. Just as that person who had fallen into poverty and had given his land to his nearest relative, sold it to his nearest relative for money to help him in a time of need. So now his relative had a right to his property. Satan had a right unto us. He owned us. That relative owned his kinsman's land rightfully. Satan owned us rightfully. So in order for us no longer to be under his rule and for him to own us, a purchase had to be made. And that purchase was the blood of Yeshua. When Yeshua died upon that cross, his blood redeemed us. Redemption is a purchase. It means something happened, a transaction occurred. You paid for something. So when Yeshua died upon that cross, he paid for our souls so that we could be forgiven of our sins, and no longer would we be under the domain of darkness or no longer under the kingdom of Satan, but we are now transferred into the kingdom of Yeshua to now serve him. So when we are transferred to his kingdom, we no longer serve darkness. What does it mean to serve darkness? It means to transgress his Torah, to transgress the law, to walk in disobedience. That is what it means to walk in darkness. Now we have been transferred to the kingdom to walk in his light, or you could say to walk in obedience to his word. So we have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. So what are we to do? Verse 10, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing unto him. What is a manner worthy to the Lord? What is fully pleasing unto him? His word lays out how we are able to please him, how we can be that living sacrifice that bears forth a pleasing aroma unto him, and that is by obedience to his commands in which he has given us. He has given us detailed instructions on how to love him and how to love people. And when we walk in that obedience, then we are fully pleasing unto him, and we bear fruit in every good work. That is what we have been called to do. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. So verse 8 here, we see the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's how John describes it. He describes this concept of Yeshua coming to release the captives as coming to destroy the works of the devil. Because the works of the devil, the idea of the devil, remember, he's going around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. His desire is to devour every being on this earth, to drag them to have eternity with him in that lake of fire. That is his desire. His works is to lead people astray, to deceive people into a life of lawlessness, to a life that is contrary to the commands that Yahweh has given unto us. That is his desire. He will try to deceive us, to trick us, and to lead us astray with everything he's got. That is his desire. That's what he wants. And so Yeshua came to destroy those works, to destroy his kingdom, to destroy the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness, so that it would no longer rule over us, so that those who would put their belief in him would no longer make it a practice of sinning, but they would make it a practice of walking in that which is righteous, or they would purify themselves. Okay? What does John tell us? Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. So if you are a person who makes it a practice to walk in disobedience to God's word, to his commandments, that's including his Torah, then we put ourselves as a person who is walking as of the devil, that we are of the devil, that the devil is our father, and that Yahweh is not our father. If we say that we are born of God, but we make it a practice of sinning, then we are a liar. He says, we cannot keep on sinning if God's seed abides in us. If his seed of set apartness, if his Holy Spirit is inside of us, we cannot be at peace with sin in our lives, because God's kingdom is not at peace with sin. God's kingdom is not at peace with the works of darkness. The light and the darkness do not get along. They are at war with each other. So if we are truly born of God, if we have truly been set free by Yeshua and we truly believe in him, and have been redeemed by him, and his seed abides in us, then his spirit is going to be at war with sin in our lives. And we are not going to be able to be at peace with the sin in our lives. And if we keep on practicing sin, if we keep on giving in to sin, then what we're going to do is quench his Holy Spirit living inside of us. We're going to quench his seed that abides in us. And we will find ourselves being a person who makes a practice of sinning, meaning that we will no longer be a son of God or be with him, but we will be of the devil. We will be of darkness and not of light. Because what? Verse 4 tells us what sin is. It says sin is lawlessness. Okay? Verse 5. You know that he, or Yeshua, appeared, what? To take away sins, okay? Yeshua was the one who was purified. He was pure, without sin, without spot, without blemish. He never broke one commandment of the Torah. And so he was without sin, and he appeared in order to take away our sins. Not only that we would be forgiven, but also that we would no longer serve sin. We would no longer practice sin, practice lawlessness, practice disobedience, but that we would purify ourselves as he was pure. That is our goal. That is the goal of every believer. We have been set free. We can rejoice in the Jubilee. We can rejoice in the fact that that which we could not pay for has been paid for us. And we are no longer in the kingdom of darkness, but we have been brought into the kingdom of Yeshua. And so now we are to purify ourselves. Or how do we purify ourselves? By no longer walking in the lust of our flesh, no longer practicing lawlessness, or no longer practicing disobedience, but walking in his righteousness, or walking in obedience to his word, his commandments. His commandments, his Torah, purifies us. It sets us apart. It leads us in that which is righteous. When we walk in obedience to his word, we're walking in righteousness. We're walking instead of apartness. We're walking in that which is pure. He has redeemed us. He has set us free from that which we could not pay for ourselves, so that we could be clean, so that we could be pure, so that we could walk in his purity. We have been set free to walk in obedience to his word. Well, hallelujah. I hope that this message has blessed you this week. I'm so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week. We will be starting off a new book. We will be in the book of Numbers. So I hope that you come back and join us. So come back now, and shalom, y'all.